Let's assume for the moment that you have a large picture window in your living room through which you are able to observe all sorts of goings-on in the neighborhood. As a result, you've come to develop a pretty good sense of what your neighbors are like, and from those times that they leave their garage door open, you develop a sense of some of the items that they possess. During a dramatic storm, a huge tree topples over in the yard across the street, filling the yard with its enormous trunk and sprawling branches. But your neighbor does kind of an odd thing. Even though he has a powerful chainsaw sitting in his garage, he comes out of the house with a small handsaw and with it attempts to cut the enormous trunk into some firewood. What would you think of such a person? Wouldn't you naturally wonder, why in the world isn't he using that powerful chainsaw that's sitting in his garage? You learn that another neighbor has received word that a relative who lives at a distance has recently become gravely ill. As a result of this news, the neighbor rapidly packs bags and sets out on the 300-mile trek. But he does an odd thing. Instead of using the fast, brand new sports car that's sitting in his garage, he heads out on foot. What would you think of such a person? You'd probably conclude, why isn't he using the brand new car that's just sitting there in his garage? It would make it so much easier. So, what might the Lord think when he looks down from heaven and so often sees his people, his children, facing difficulties, confronting challenges, working on problems, but not making use of the tool, the device that he has provided for the explicit purpose of making challenges and difficulties easier to handle? Might he think, why in the world aren't they tapping me for the help they need? Why aren't they making greater use of prayer? In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus underscored the great benefit of Christian prayer, as well as God's eagerness to respond to it. Ask, he says, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Imagine how terrible it would be if the Lord had left us to tackle on our own the various problems that can come crashing down around us, or had left us on our own to pursue the solutions that seem so out of reach. He had every right to abandon us in our times of need because we have so routinely rebelled against his will and abandoned him. But since Jesus has made restitution for our rebelliousness and has wiped away the judgment of our sin through the shedding of his blood, God has now become our reconciled Father, a Father who wants the very best for his children and who is eager to be involved in the solution. Through Christ, God has become our powerful, loving, wise Father who's just waiting to be tapped, waiting to be asked for the help that we need. Strange thing is, we tend not to use the great privilege of Christian prayer as often as we might or could, to our own detriment. Jesus hands us the multi-horsepower chainsaw of prayer to help us get through the difficulties, the obstacles of life. But we so often leave it sitting on the shelf. He gives to us the lightning-fast vehicle of prayer through which we can arrive and achieve a solution more readily, but we so often leave our praying in park. Oddly, even though we Christians are the ones who have been given access to God's ears through the reconciliation which Christ has secured, we are sometimes far less active in making prayers than our non-Christians in the world whose prayers do absolutely no good. prayer comes naturally to people of every religion in every corner of the world because of man's natural knowledge of God. Everyone is born with the understanding that there is a supreme being in existence. And who doesn't want to tap the supreme being for some help? But that doesn't mean that their prayers accomplish anything. For prayers are accepted by God only when they are made with faith in God's Son. Jesus said so simply, "No one comes to the Father except through me." From the prophets of Baal, who thought that their prayers would be heard for the intensity of their praying, to the scribes and Pharisees, who thought that their prayers would be heard for the numerous frequency of their prayers are nothing but hollow air, because such individuals rejected Christ, the only mediator between God and man, the only bridge between us and heaven's throne. People such as these, and people around the world, do instinctively grab for that chainsaw of prayer or that vehicle of prayer, but a prayer without Jesus in the heart is like a chainsaw or a car, a vehicle without any gas in the tank. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. But we who have been given faith to see that Jesus is the Son of God and the Redeemer of the world have been handed the saws and vehicles of prayer with tanks that are full of high-octane fuel. So, the beneficial thing to do is to put powerful prayer to use. Not to use the privilege of Christian prayer is not to enlist the power of God in the help that we so very much need. Not to use Christian prayer is not to tap the help of the Almighty in solving our problems. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He is infinitely wiser, smarter, stronger than we'll ever be. So to fill his ears with our concerns and fears is to make use of the greatest resource of help available. He invites us, welcomes us, wants us to put our burdens on his shoulders and to place our problems in his hands, because his shoulders can easily bear whatever weight we might feel. It's no problem for him, and his hands can quickly solve any problem that might come our way. It doesn't mean, of course, that he will always respond as soon as we might like. Sometimes we have to follow asking with seeking and follow seeking with pounding. Nor does it mean that he will always grant exactly what we request. But he will give us a wise and loving answer when the time is just right. And even if we aren't given exactly what we'd like, his answer will be as good as his timing. Just as the response of any loving father will be when his cherished child makes a request of him. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Has some weighty problem come crashing down and gotten in your way? Does some solution to a nagging challenge seem just out of reach? Well, heavenly help is there for the asking. So ask. Why not seek? Why not pray? As someone somewhere summarized so well, life is fragile. Handle with prayer. The privilege of prayer is somewhat something which is spoken of in hymn 779, stanzas 1 and 2. 779, 1 and 2.